have life, me have me not make no boy take it. Ready for the finish, ready for the finish. Lock and loaded, fierce to semi, ready for mash up anything with test high. Father God bless high, Psalm 23 protect high. Let me return like the Jedi. Yeah, I'm not firehouse warriors, the N.I. Beast, they by this high, them never yet left high. Pour me a high, that the agent has to tell I. Let me wish for them tonight. Yes, the war, like Western Union will finish.
Ain't nothing but against the party.
Oh shit. You done fucked up, man. You done put two of America's most wanted in the same motherfucking place at the same motherfucking time. Y'all niggas about to feel this. Break out the champagne glasses and motherfucking condoms. Have one on us, alright?
I keep my hand on my gun, cause they got me on the run. Now I'm back in the courtroom, waiting on the outcome. 3-2-5 is all that's on the niggas' mind. But at the same time, it seems they trying to take mine. So I'ma get smart and get the sense of this shit. And put together a million march for some gangsta shit.
So now they got a slate, two multi-millionaire motherfuckers catch a case. Bitches get ready for the throwdown, the shit's about to go down. Me and Snoop about to crash. I'm losing my religion, I'm vicious on these stupid. You might be deep in this game, but you got the rules missing. Niggas be acting like you savage, they all forget the garbage. I got nothing but love for my niggas living life.
I got a pit named P, she nigga Reno. I got a house out in the hills, right next to Chino. And I think I got a black Beamer, but my dream is to own a fly casino like Bugsy Siegel and do it all illegal and get scooped up by the little homie in the Riga. It feel good to you, baby bubba. You see, this is for the G's and the keys, motherfucker.
Now follow as we ride, motherfuck the rest. Two of the best from the west side, and I can make you famous. Niggas been dying for years, so how can they blame us? I live in fear of a felony. I never stop bailing me, motherfucking G. If you got a better floor, another woman. Two of them members, smoke one.
Is this not why you are here? Good morning, CKLN listeners. What more can I say? Because I'm your host here. It's your host, BK, for the 18th of May, 2010. You are listening to CKLN Rude Awakening here on CKLN 88.1 FM. CKLN.FM online and Rogers Cable Box 947. As we listen to the instrumental from Jay-Z's What More Can I Say from the Block album where he retired back in 2003. There have been a few sightings of Jay-Z since 2003. I'm not gonna lie to you here. You know, there's other famous people that retired or whatever, and we've seen him since. There's Elvis, there's Tupac, and then there's, of course, the mysterious Jay-Z who retired with the Black album in 2003, or at least built a lot of sympathy for him retiring, and then dropped tons of stuff like What More Can I Say, and these days his songs are more like, what did I say? What did I say? I'm Jay-Z. What did I say? That's right. Who's got more money than me? Nobody. Who's done it better than me? Nobody. Jigga held you down for six summers. Damn, where's the love? That's Jigga, by the way. Note to Jay, if you got to slow that down and play it back in some Communist Canada Civil Tribunal against free speech, but you're not going to do that, because here on CKLN 88.1 and community radio stations worldwide, we try and speak truth to power. And so any real any real serious venom most of us have is and ought to be at least aimed at them. Now, you know, you might be like, what? I like power. What? I was raised in a fascist country, man. It's cool. Whoever's in charge, I just kind of go with, and no matter what happens. And yeah, you know, you get cats out there these days that might be using Jesus as a dartboard a couple of thousand years ago. Like, it's just not good, man. It's just not, you know, we need to remember what makes us us. And what makes us us is not necessarily the herd mentality. You know, it's not necessarily just sort of going along to get along. Because if you just go along to get along, then you're not really defining yourself very clearly. Now, and I'm not trying to preach my ways. But then again, I do say, do what I say and not what I do. And people will go, oh, you're so arrogant. I'm like, no, you idiot. I say what I say for other people. I do what I do for me. You know, I went to sleep at 1:30 in the morning last night and then woke up at 4:30 in the morning today to walk down here starting around 5, 10 after 5, and make it here for 6 o'clock show. And I did the same thing on Sunday night, so Monday morning, for Monday morning shows. I got 3 hours sleep last couple of nights to do shows, but I'm pretty wired, lots of things in my mind, and lots of ways to get me wired as I listened to Nothing But a Gangsta Party on the way up here, and worked on my flow, which of course is still not close to where Tupac and Snoop's is, but hey, I can keep biting. Hey, what are you gonna do? So, but no, just whatever it takes to get you going. And here on CKLN Radio, what more can I say? What more can I say? I'll tell you this much. Certain thoughts do occur to one when they are trying to think of stuff. Hope that's clear out there to everybody. I don't want to mess nobody up. But if you're looking at me to be entertained, then I'm annoyed and I'll quit the show. You know, if I don't see people starting to fly or and get active or whatever, I'll just be like, what am I doing this for? I'm not your monkey. I'm not your conspira monkey. And if you're doing this, if you're looking at me for inspiration, well, you can get some, but look, it's not, I'm a tactician. Some people are optimists. I'm a strategist, and I'm optimistic enough to think strategizing is worthwhile. And so what I would recommend anybody do is, again, get inspiration from
afternoon I've ever had.
I knew you'd love the Tom Jones Museum.
And the point is, get inspiration from whoever you get inspired by. You know, get inspiration from that, because no matter what, anybody that's here right now, including myself, you can get inspiration from one song, and you can lose inspiration from another. You can get inspiration from one day and lose it from another. I was in a particularly, I don't know, I was in a good mood, but I wasn't in a patient mood. Not for, put it this way, back in the day, you know, if you came to me with a problem, and I solved it for you. Even just saying this today in the modern neo-communist Canada speak is difficult because I'm just like, thank goodness no one's in front of me here and I have to deal with, you know, sad, confused, a myriad range of expressions as I pass some of these controversial ideas by. But all right, I'm going to run through this. Check this out. All right, so let's say you came to me with a problem. You know, oh, my girlfriend this, my boyfriend that, my so-and-so this, I can't get over that, work this, and having trouble with that. And then I thought of, or anybody thought of, to extrapolate, because I'm not making this about me. These are general principles here for society. And I solved it. Then you'd be like, oh, thanks. We'd move on to something else. These days, people are much more apt to defend, to feel bad if you do. Like, oh, why didn't I think of that? You know, am I stupid? You know? And it's like, look, can we just, no, you're not stupid. You're smart enough to do a bunch of other crap. Like, why take an L on this? You know? Like, why take an L because you brought up a problem and a friend of yours helped you solve it? Why did your ego got to take a loss? So it don't make sense to me, but that is the world the New World Order has created. The New World Order is the globalized, the system of globalization. The left called it globalization. Before 9/11, back in September 11th on 2001, and they used to call it globalization. There were huge protests against globalization. There was huge protests against the World Trade Organization in Seattle and in Germany. And people were taking the streets and they were going like, no, we don't need a World Trade Organization. We don't need any organization to organize trade for the world. Get out of here. I'm going by Carol Brie here. Carol Brie, a 9/11 truth activist from California, Carol, and then Brouillet, one of the most courageous and capable women out there in the fight against globalization or the New World Order or the uber wealthy people worldwide working together to screw all of us, steal our stuff, and certifiably cull us off. She basically said, and many of other people have said, that after 9/11, they just shut up. And that was 9 years ago. So that's kind of shocking and kind of dangerous and kind of whatever. But for the most part, you know, that is true. And they started to get much more splintered. Just as activist groups out there who'd been working together and had been collecting info and who've been pushing their leaders to look for more details on this, you know. Times were a bit safer domestically to operate under President Clinton, and we were sold a better time here while he was president through the 90s, because he and, of course, the people he works for, he's a salesman for the elite and the technocrats behind him who manage his presidency like all presidents are, because during Clinton's presidency, he was signing all these crazy international deals to cede U.S. sovereignty to international bodies. And I work here in Canada. The reason I focus so much on the U.S. sometimes, and I've been saying this for 5 years now, and the only reason I keep saying something, unless I'm checked, is because it makes sense. And that is, if your neighbor's house is on fire, you can't just sit on your front lawn and crack open a six-pack and go, ha-ha, you know, like Nelson out of The Simpsons. And so as Canadians, you know, we could say, oh, our bank system's more insured, we have a better social safety net, you know, we have more natural resources, we have nicer people, we have better hair, and so even if the U.S. goes down in a road warrior-style, you know, series of economic implosions and social unrest, we'll be fine. Yeah, they're next door, and yeah, our border's 8 million miles long, and a lot of people from there, if that place collapses, will be looking for a place to go to. And they all have guns and we don't. And if they come up here, they'll probably try and bring them because, you know, they're used to road warrior situations where pretty much all of us at that point would go, yeah, I'm pro-gun. Give me that. So anyway, back to the inspiration, back to where we're up to. So I started off the show with Ain't Nothing But a Gangsta Party for one reason, to celebrate. What is there to celebrate in a world run by the New World Order? What is there to celebrate? Oh, my God, they're killing us. With fluoride in their water, it is aspartame and vaccines, and oh, the recession is gonna, and then the mind control and the media lies and the kids, and no, it's not. What is there to celebrate? Well, the only thing to celebrate is doing something about this. And so yesterday, my colleague Brad and I again, holding down Toronto. I think I can take care of the city myself, folks. I'm just worried about the. Well, I'll get into that in a sec. All right, so. Yesterday, my colleague Brad and I met around 3 o'clock at the Second Cup near Much Music, and we went a-flyering. we went a flyer in, and we put up a bunch of G20 flyers and so on. And I'm experimenting, pioneering techniques of free speech in communist Canada. And I got these little flyers that actually have front and backs, but sticking them up among a nice little selection, courtesy of Brad, myself, and Mark from Burlington, who designed some of them. And yeah, a guy from Burlington, a guy from North York, and me working on flyering Toronto before the G20 at this late date and rate. Which is why I said, get inspired. You're gonna rely on me. If I fail to inspire you, is that gonna be your excuse for committing suicide? You know, or for screwing everybody around you if you're halfway aware of this information? Well, that's not on my conscience. Like, you can come at me and say, you know what, your show wasn't good this morning. You know what, I heard you, you know, cursing up a storm, slipping into some hip-hop slang, because you do that often, and you don't swear on the radio, but you sure cursed up a blue storm the other day, and so you don't inspire me anymore, even though you've done some good stuff. Okay. You know, if that's how you was riding, then, you know, it wasn't a very safe bike anyway, so I'm getting off this. All right, so here's the flyers. What will people in Toronto do before the G20, June 26th to 27th? TorontoTrueSeekers.com, and a picture of some soldiers on the front walking in front of a sign that says Pittsburgh welcomes the world. So, bit esoteric for some. There's no denying that. I'm not saying everyone's going to get this in the same way that you'd get a Lady Gaga song. You know, and Lady Gaga is an artist. You know, she is talented. I won't deny that. Maybe it'll be tough to get Lady Gaga going, you know, po-po-po-poker face, po-po. You know, read your mind, whatever. but essentially, Pittsburgh hosted the G20 last year. And if you're familiar with what happened there, then you don't need to hear this. You need to go somewhere and cry and go, oh my God, it's been 6 weeks. If you're not familiar with it, then I'll tell you. The Homeland Security, Stapo, and Homeland Security, Reichland Security, Hitler had that. It was Reich. America's called the home. Germany, it's the German word for home, Reich, back in Nazi Germany. And when you start referring to things like homeland and homeland security and filling your homeland full of security and treating everyone there like a suspect, well, that's, you know, fascism. It's because you want to do bad stuff to people. When you get people used to being heavily policed and managed by troops and by bureaucracies, it's because you want to do bad stuff for them. You only put people there to. It's like, why do you lock your doors? You don't want to get robbed. You know, why do you lock your reality? Because you want to rob the people who live there. So they can rob us, and they can tax us, and they can put these guys there. And, you know, we're not used to taking to the streets. And if we see a bunch of guys with guns, from TV, a bunch of guys with guns from TV, then we're probably not going to do nothing. So front of this says that and has that, and in Pittsburgh they blasted people with sound cannons, they beat up protesters, they beat up women and children and the elderly and the bikes, and the security forces there went nuts on people, sound weapons. Like, you're there and you're like, we think the G20 sucks, and then bloop, 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 and everyone scatters, and, you know, if you've lost 5% of your hearing or whatever. So while people, and sometimes when we're flyering out in the streets, and I'm going to get into the back of this flyer in a sec, but it's a little diatribe I'd like to read over the right music, and this sure as hell, isn't it? Some people approach us, and they'll be like, oh, man, I can't wait to go to the protest. Yeah, I'm totally going to the protest. And me and my buddy Brad, you know, who's a recurring character here, he's like the giant, you know, talking white rabbit Harvey out of that 70s movie. If you don't actually ever see me flyering, you may not think he exists. But, no, there are two of us trying to take care of Toronto here. And there are more who could. And I'm not trying to shut people down here. But I, like I said, there's a reason that I do everything half-assed. It's because I have to do everything. So if I got to make music, I got to make it half-assed. If I got to run for mayor, I got to run for mayor half-assed. And if I got to manage, you know, groups of people statistically, logically, give them ideas and give them inspiration, give them options, I got to do that half-assed because I'm doing other things. And then I got to see them do it half-assed. And then I got to struggle with how to get them to do it better. Because if quote-unquote truthers, conspiracy theorists, people who use the destruction or knowledge about the destruction of our society as entertainment or useless readers as the New World Order might call them? Ah, yes. There's a world of useless eaters and useless readers. Those people do nothing but eat and play and enjoy themselves. Those people do nothing but read about how we're going to screw them. So as long as there's useless eaters and useless readers, the New World Order's got a pretty good shot at and getting rid of us breeders and going forward with their depopulation plan. But some people say, hey man, I'm totally coming to the G20 protest, but me and Brad look at each other like, we don't care, we might not even go. You're like, huh? But you're out here, you're up for flyering, you're doing this, and you're like, yeah, I don't want to go to a rock concert to celebrate how much we know this sucks. It's not my thing. Now, if you see me there, you see me there. If I go, I go. But that's not my metric. And to make that clear, again, the flyers say, what will people in Toronto do before? And that is italicized. It's in bold, so it's hard to tell, but it's there. It's slanting to the right. Don't take that. Not slanting to the right or the left. It's just slanting. It was slanting in the direction of the way you're reading the sentence there. See, this is what happens in Communist Canada. You have to deal with what everyone may potentially say, may potentially think, so you don't think to say anything. Craziness. All right, so what will people in Toronto do before the G20? Listen to some hip-hop, get inspired, get out there, do something, tell some friends, share some DVDs. You don't have to be as public as us, but the only reason we're this public and in people's faces is because people aren't moving the way they could, dropping a few of these off. I should be walking into random bathrooms and seeing these. I should be at convenience stores and there's a little pile there. And dude ain't even trying to hustle me because it's a store. Like, if I don't want to be hustled, then whatever. But there should be a little pile there and I should be able to interestingly grab one. Record stores all up and down Queen Street, other places, played a record. There should be a little pile of these. I dropped a stag off at CFNY. And I'm not talking about mine. I'm nothing about my ideas, my nothing. Just what exactly is it that we're doing about this? And if it's just talking about it, or talking about how much we know about it, then what exactly is that? And anyway, I think since the 50s, 60s, the CIA and the other intelligence agencies and Tavistock and people that manipulate us and trying to figure out, you know, how to mess with our minds, to my mind, I think they created the protest model idea, where they say, let's get a whole bunch of people, let's get 500, 1,000, 5,000, 50,000, 500,000. Let's get them all together and let's let them blow off some steam and send them home. And let's make sure these people don't, you know, act like there's a 500,000 of them any other time. You know, it might get, a couple years ago, the protest against the SPP.gov North American Union, we had 500 people at Queen's Park. There's four radios that discuss the big conspiracy in Toronto. As far as I know, there's myself, there's Richard Serrett, there's George Freund, and there's Art Bells. And all great shows, from what I've heard. And there's a conspiracy culture book and DVD store at Queen and Roncesvalles. And there are periodic screenings at the Bloor Cinema and other places that attract 200, 500 people, depending on the screening. And there are protests in the city. I've been to anti-war protests here with 10,000 people. And yet, the rest of the time, we're supposed to act like those people don't exist? All right. That was a little stream of consciousness rant. Hopefully, you can rewind that and play that back. You can stream the shows here. Archive.org, radio, the number 4all.net, blackchristian@blogspot.com to get a few more of my words. I'm going to give you a break from me and let Mike Adams, the health ranger from naturalnews.com, and Jesse Ventura break down a variety of things. Kids, drugs, guns, terrorists, all sorts of craziness from Jesse Ventura and Mike Adams.
What do you think this is all taking us, Governor? I mean, what's ahead for America?
Well, you know, I always believe in my country, and I always believe we'll survive everything, but I see worse ahead unless we get away from this. You know, the people can still stop it all, and there's a simple way to do it, but the lemmings won't do it. You know what that is? Stop voting for Democrats and Republicans. Vote for other people. It's that simple. We have the control in our hands. All we have to do is exercise it.
But you notice how strong a role fear plays in all this. They scare people into thinking they're going to waste their vote, right? Because we don't have instant runoff voting in this country.
Well,
so they scare people.
But how you counter that, you simply look at them and say, no, voting is not like a horse race. You're not in there to pick the winner. You're there to vote for the candidate that most represents your beliefs.
Yeah.
And so you vote your conscience and your heart. If you don't vote your conscience and your heart, then you've wasted your vote.
What about the other angle on this, that too many Americans are now just, so many are on these psychiatric drugs and psychotropic drugs that they can't vote consciously and intelligently anymore anyway? This is a big concern.
Well, I don't know that so much if they're that loaded with them that they can't think straight. I mean, heck, I don't know if it's to that level or whether that would play a role in it or not. I just think that we have a lemming mentality. As I said earlier, they don't like anything that disrupts their little nucleus.
Right.
And so as long as the world is good as far as they can see visually, then everything's okay.
I was interviewing a police officer in Arizona, knew a bunch of the guys down there, and I was doing a show, and I asked him about traffic accidents and what percentage of the traffic accidents were caused by people who are on medication, not alcohol, not marijuana, just medication. And he told me 30%.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't doubt it. I wouldn't doubt that at all. I mean, look at all the kids today, the children that they got on drugs. I mean, it's ridiculous. You know, right away if a kid misbehaves or something's a little different about him, the first thing they do is stick him on some sort of drug. Ritalin,
sure,
or whatever the hell that stuff is.
Yep.
You know, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, and they say it's going to make your children's teacher happy and they're going to do well in school as long as they're on this drug. And it's the same old lies, just repackaged with new chemicals.
Yep.
Let's talk about the media.
And not even natural chemicals, artificial ones.
Yeah, yeah, all patented, you know, monopoly price chemicals. I want to ask you about the media now. I know this is a huge topic. You've had just legendary battles with the mainstream media in Minnesota and across the country, but they know to take you seriously now. What has happened to the media? We used to have real investigative journalists back in the 60s and 70s. Today, they seem to be nowhere. What's going on?
Well, because I think that they're all bought and sold, known by the government. That's all part of government control. You know, we're losing our rights right now. We've lost the Fourth Amendment right of illegal search and seizure. They've blown that thing right out of here. Habeas corpus is gone. They can now arrest you and hold you and not even let you see a lawyer and not even charge you for as long as they want. And so we've got to, you know, and I thought that Barack Obama would bring that stuff back, but he hasn't. And that's what been my big disappointment in him, is the fact that he's letting all this Bush stuff still remain.
Yeah, Patriot Act, for example.
Yeah, they should repeal and get rid of the Patriot Act. It's ridiculous. All it does is take away our freedoms. You know what's interesting about that, too? Remember what George Bush told us why we were attacked? He said they attacked us because of our freedoms.
That's right.
So what is George's method for stopping the attacks? Take away our freedoms.
Yeah, we'll show them.
Yeah, we'll show them we won't have freedom anymore, and then they won't attack us anymore.
Exactly.
Well, I would rather, and I've said this many times, I would rather face the terrorists than lose my freedom.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. I don't want the government trying to protect me against every little thing. Even terrorists. Where are the terrorists? You know, the FDA kills more people than the terrorists.
Yep.
I did the math on that.
Oh, yeah. I'll give you some math. Here's a good one. Did you know in the last 30 years that more people have died in their bathtub than have died from an act of terrorism, including the spike of 9/11? Now I'll have fun with it. So because of that, shouldn't we create the Department of Bathtub Security? And then what we should do is have a color-coded thing where they can tell us which months out of the year most people die in the bathtub, so we'll be more vigilant. And then they could have a bathtub team that could come in your house without a warrant to check and make sure you got all the right safety stuff. You know, because dying in your bathtub is a higher percentage that'll happen to you than dying at the hands of a terrorist.
And we're back, CKNW listeners. That's right. That was Jesse Ventura on with Mr. Mike Adams talking about how, yes, you have a better chance of dying in the bathtub than you do from a terrorist attack. even though your own governments commit them and other false flag acts all the time. Canada's in Afghanistan right now guarding the opium crop, as it says on this flyer. I'm going to read this flyer for you, because I got to be honest with you. We're experimenting with some options here and some opportunities, and I apologize for yelling at you, but I'm not yelling at you. I'm just yelling. I know we're all supposed to think and say the same thing, but I think that's stupid, and I think if you think, you think that's stupid, and so yeah, we'll try and facilitate that process. All right. It says here, G20 summit versus a nuclear 9/11 on the back of this flyer, and I'm telling you, we're putting aside just what will people in Toronto do before G20, June 26th, 27th, TorontoTruthSeekers.com at the bottom, picture of the soldiers in Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh welcomes the world, and these heavily, you know, armed riot police kind of walking towards the frame of the shot towards you, and you're just like, ah, this is going to come here? Right, it is going to come here. Crap. And then there's the back. And I got to say, the reason I'm going off on this is for the last 5,000 years or so, people have been postering and flyering. And I know we got, you know, emails and Twitters now, but if you tried to Twitter this crap, it just wouldn't... The reason that things don't stick these days is because it's not permanent. But a flyer is at least semi-permanent. And there's the boo technique, which is, you know, global tyranny, boo, check this website. Or, you know, what can you say to this kid? Boo, check this whatever. And so we, you know, got some of that, catch people. But there's also some reading material options. If you want to know, you know, what the people who are saying boo on one poster are saying, if given more of a chance, then here is your opportunity to find out. If you can't make it downtown, you got to be catching this show. This is the type of thing that's stuck all over the streets of Toronto. And there's some stuff stuck there from Saturday at the corner of Queen and Young at the south. East corner of Young and Queen, there's a black pole there right before the Vomit Comet showed up on Saturday night. Me and my buddy slapped up a bunch of stuff, including a couple of leaves for people to read in case they were up to it. And it goes like, and it goes a little something like this. G20 summit versus a nuclear 9/11. Why do our, quote, world leaders and, quote, intelligence agencies say we're in more danger of a, quote, nuclear terrorist attack than ever? What do they do with the trillions of tax dollars they've been paid since 9/11, in brackets, 01, to, quote, keep us safe and stop this from happening? Why does NATO, that's North Atlantic Treaty Organization, why did I say that, make Canadian soldiers guard, quote, poppy fields for the global, quote, heroin trade? Why will, quote, 1,000 private, quote, contractors or, quote, killers? I just got to stop doing the quote thing because I'm quoting things that I read from the mass media. That's why I'm trying to make this thing credible. All right. So why will 1,000 private contractors or killers like Blackwater in Iraq or New Orleans be allowed in Toronto during the G20 from June 26th to 27th? If they kill us, will they just be flown out of Canada on military planes? Why are huge G20 entourages being given diplomatic immunity so they're above the law in Toronto? Why should we accept the G20 summit scaring us with 10,000 soldiers on our streets? After what they've done so far, should anybody object to what our G20 leaders are up to? Should we just trust what they say? Since this can be heavy stuff, should Canadian men aged 25 to 45 deal with this on behalf of women, children, and the elderly? With a question mark and a smiley face. I know where I live, and I know the smiley face will keep me from getting beat up for a couple weeks by someone who's really upset by that. But no, straight up. Like, so there it is. There's an idea of Wagwan. And why do I bring this up? Why do I bring up informing the uninformed as opposed to just informing the informed, like telling your buddy who's already into this, hey, did you get your latest in InfoWars? Oh, did you hear about colloidal silver? Oh, man, I heard it crazy. Instead of just having these little coffee shop talk conversations, why should we inform the uninformed as well as, of course, most importantly, inform the informed? But on the side, you could also tell people that don't know about this stuff who are being poisoned right now, when 1 in 3 women and 1 in 2 men in the future are expected to get cancer, largely because of crap in our environment. And I was interviewed by the CBC yesterday, in the afternoon at Queen and Spadina, and there's a couple of CBC girls there, and they had a CBC camera with them, and they was talking to people, and I was just chilling, because I'm a good quote. You might think it's me, but look, I know that if you're trying to do a project for TV, I'm about as good as you're going to find on the street. Maybe find someone better, maybe prettier, maybe slicker. But I'm in that category of, I will give you enough crap that you can go home early and start working on editing this. And so whatever. So I dropped a little something for them on the cell phone thing. And they asked me, like, if cell phones is dangerous, would you use one or not? And I'd be like, you know what? Depends on what the study said. Depends on not. I actually didn't have one. If it said, you know, it couldn't be within 3 feet of your body, no. If it said keep it 6 inches away, maybe. And they still say it's inconclusive, but it's conclusive. They're not good for you. BioPro chips can help take care of that. But what else is not good for you? What else do we have to do? At least something to save our brains from. Well, that's Facebook. And Alan Watt from CuttingThroughTheMatrix.com is going to break down a bit on Facebook and the notion of privacy itself and why folks should think about that. Alan Watt from CuttingThroughTheMatrix.com from the 14th of May, 2010, breaking down Facebook. 2-3 million users in the city. Yeah, get the word out.
Because once you have no privacy, you have nothing. You have to look even at the founding fathers talking about privacy to do with search warrants and everything else. No one can go through your personal data, but not anymore. You don't have to. You put it all up on the web for them to do it. You're trained, domesticated. Domesticated. Wild animals wouldn't react in this way. The natural man wouldn't react this way. Something's happened along the way, and you're thoroughly, thoroughly domesticated. This article here is from Business Day. Personal tech, price of Facebook privacy, start clicking. It says, if you guess the latter, it says, you're right, Facebook's privacy policy is 5,830 words long. The United States Constitution, without any of its amendments, is a concise 4,543 words. In other words, that's what you have to go through to read Facebook's policy, the new policy, if you want to get out of it. Facebook, one of the most popular social networks in the world, has more than 400 million registered people on its website. Half these users log on to the daily service. The company says, and users spend 500 billion minutes on the site each month. But in recent months, Facebook has revised its privacy policy to require users to opt out if they wish to keep information private, making most of that information public by default. Some personal data is now being shared with third-party websites. It was from the beginning, folks. As a result, the company has come under a blitz from privacy groups, etc., etc. There were another article about it, too. I would say this is the same as all these other big sites that you're using. This article here is from The Register. Facebook founder called trusting users dumb, F-U-C-K-S. That's your wonderful hero that gave you Facebook. That tells you what he really thinks of you, schmucks, doesn't it? 14th of May, it says, lovable Facebook founder Mark Zuckerberg called his first few thousand users dumb, F-U-C-K-S, for trusting him with their data. Published IM transcripts, show Facebook hasn't disputed the authenticity of the transcript. Zuckerberg was chatting with an unnamed friend, a partner in the early 2004 Business Insider, which has a series of quite juicy anecdotes about Facebook's early days, and takes the credit for this one. The exchange of partner ran like this. Zuck, yes, so if you ever need info about anyone at Harvard, Zuck, just ask. Then Zuck said, I have over 4,000 emails, pictures, addresses, SNNs. Then the friend said, what, how did you manage to get that one? Zuck, people just submitted it. And Zuck says, I don't know why. Then he says, they trust me. Then Zuck went on to say, dumb F-U-C-K-S. You've been taken for a ride from the very beginning with this sucker. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, of course you have been. Of course you have been. And then, of course, I have another thing here. Wired.com, Facebook's gone rogue. It's time for an open alternative. May the 7th, 2010. So it's gone rogue. Drunk on founder Mark Zuckerberg's dreams of world domination. It's time the rest of the web ecosystem recognizes this and works to replace it with something open and distributed. You know, remember, everything comes under Homeland Security now. And remember that interesting term Bush used. They'd created the Total Information Network for governments, agencies. Now, total doesn't say most. It says total. That means everything, folks, is being monitored. And these boys, none of them have privacy. They're wide open to the NSA and anybody else at the top that wants it. Folks should think about that.
Call me young, man. I'm money grown, though. Money grown.
By the way.
Yeah, let's go. Yo, you already know what's time, nigga. Let's go, nigga.
I said I'm young, by the way. The one, by the way. I ain't trippin', I just do this shit for fun, by the way. The truth, by the way. The proof, by the way. Mr. Run up on me, know I'm gon' shoot, by the way. I'm in the zone, by the way. I'm in the zone, by the way. You can call me Mr. Get 'em gone, by the way. I did it, by the way. I was with it, by the way. I talk it like I did it, cause I lived it, by the way.
And we're back, CKLN listeners. That's right. By the way, Facebook is something you got to be concerned about. Why? Well, if you wonder why, you know, you get a guy like me yelling, you know, for this show. And, you know, I know I listen to you. I love yesterday's show. And I've been commenting, I think, on yesterday's show. I think it was a great show. I honestly do. But I don't know what the effects are. And I don't want to speak like a Nazi shrink. I got a bunch of different styles. I manage a furniture store on Queen Street for a year. And I'm very polite, and I naturally am, but I'm naturally not a robot. And I naturally refuse to robot out. And so if you're going to be on Facebook and you're going to start to be dependent on that type of social networking, and you're going to judge yourself based on, you know, how many people are contacting you, and are you increasing the number of friends or not? South Park had a phenomenal episode on Facebook, and just unbelievably funny, and talks about and you know, lampooned this notion of that. But if you play by the mainstream rules, you always put yourself in a weaker position. You're never going to be good-looking enough if you try and be good-looking. You're never going to be rich enough if you try and rich. You're never going to be popular enough if you try and be popular. And even if you are popular, you're never going to have the time to facilitate all those relationships. So you got to put something out there that's uniquely your own. But the mass media is making fun of us, and the culture and the pop culture and the New World Order wants to distract us from this. They have things like the Gap, the Dawn of the New Man ads, and I grabbed this brochure here. I'm looking at a Dockers brochure. Dockers.com. And it's a guy with a white shirt, and on each page, it's a guy with a white shirt, and there are six different types of khakis here. There's a slim fit, straight fit, classic fit, and I guess it's the second kind of classic fit, and relaxed fit. And it's the same dude in the same white shirt with six different types of khaki pants on. And again, this Dawn of the New Man, wear the pants, all this sort of thing. And just, you may not know. You may laugh at that openly, but if you catch it out of the corner of your eye and it burrs its way into your brain like a fluoride molecule, then it may stick there and burn holes in your soul. So you have to compensate, and again, how do you do that? I'm going to break down some news later, but if this stuff bounces off you like bullets bounce off Superman, then that ain't no good. Now, Webster Griffin Tarpley on the Alex Jones Show from the 11th of May is going to break down why there's no need for a depression, but Europe is currently under attack, and keeping an eye on what's happening over there, a.k.a. Greece, could help us out.
Two of the biggest, probably the two most important countries in Europe from various points of view, Britain and Germany, now ungovernable, and I think that's what you have to look at rather than the fates of different politicians. The one person who could act in the crisis is Sarkozy, because thanks to General de Gaulle, the French Fifth Republic Constitution gives the French president the most sweeping emergency powers. He could come out tomorrow and say, I'm banning hedge funds, I'm banning credit default swaps, I'm banning CDOs, and other things. And they also ought to get busy on that Tobin tax, right, the sales tax on derivatives, to slow down and throw sand in the gears of these speculators.
Webster, I understand that. Specifically, though, with the decisions they're making, what does this say about the global financial system, and are you revising your forecast for a total global economic collapse? Because even if, you know, all these great policies got put in place, the black hole is already so big. We know the media is lying when they say that the economy's turned around.
Well, you can stop a depression in very short time. There's no reason to live in a depression. Anybody who says that the only thing to do in a depression is let it bottom out, let it crash down, and then you'll have a recovery, that is pure insanity, because that kills, and it's also not necessary, and it's not even true. There's no guarantee that there's some kind of business cycle that will lift you out of this. As a matter of fact, what we have now is, this is not a business cycle anymore. This is not a recession. It's a world economic depression, and it's a disintegration. And the disintegration will be the euro, as various countries catastrophically drop out, Greece, or get thrown out. You'll have panic runs on different currencies, right? Some of these non-euro places like Hungary, right? You have a panic run on them, or Poland. And then you'll have a panic run on the euro, and that will break up the European Central Bank. The British think, they kid themselves, that they can be, they can stay out of this. They're being sucked in even as we speak. The pound will go down. And once you have a panic run on the pound and the bankruptcy of the main British bank, that hits the U.S. directly, because we have this euro-dollar market, right? Several trillion U.S. dollars that have been parked in London for many, many decades. If the British banks get into absolute bankruptcy and panic, with panic runs on them and also on the pound, they will have to start dumping those euro dollars, and that will be the straw that breaks the camel's back vis-a-vis the dollar. Don't wait for China or anybody else. It's going to be the British, and that's very interesting because this is the role the British have typically played in 1929, 1933, 1971, and now just now in 2008 with Barclays Bank. It's the British who generally stabbed the U.S. in the back at the key moment of a financial crisis by trying to save themselves, or also with malice trying to export the depression to the U.S. So that means that the second wave of the depression is here, and the third wave cannot be far behind. And the second wave is the collapse of Europe, from Greece now through the southern European euro countries to the British, and then immediately over to the U.S. And the U.S., on the U.S. side, of course, there's still room for the collapse of the dollar, panic runs out of the dollar, and, of course, panic runs on the Federal Reserve.
What happens to Asia? Mark Fauber and others are saying 90% chance in the next year that China is going to implode.
Well, I think we can start with Japan, since the big brouhaha is about sovereign debt. Japan is one of the most indebted countries. Japan has, I think the public debt is 200% of gross domestic product. If you look on most of the list, Japan is second only to Zimbabwe in the amount of debt. So Japan is very heavily indebted. On the other hand, Japan still has a very significant industrial economy, so they can save themselves. But they would also be candidates ultimately for some kind of a debt moratorium. In other words, a freeze on these debts.
Yeah, we know there's no way to pay off all these fake derivatives. It's designed bring the world into collapse, and they'll reorganize it for this pipe dream of a world government run by bankers, as if the public worldwide is going to put up with that. I mean, that's too overt. Webster, stay there. I want to shift gears into the domestic front and the new Supreme Court nominee who wants our free speech.
North to Alaska, go north, the rest is on.
Okay, Webster, I've got so many questions. What's happening with Angela Merkel, Nicolas Sarkozy, Gordon Brown stepping down? $150 billion goes to a trillion, the 1,000-point drop. Just a whole other crisis out of the middle of nowhere, but not for our listeners. You've been for several years saying it would start in Europe and Greece. Webster, break it down.
Well, maybe we should start with the 1,000-point drop, since that was the dramatic thing last Thursday afternoon between about 2:30 and 3 o'clock. That wiped out, in theory at least, in terms of paper wealth, $1 trillion of paper wealth wiped out in about 10 or 15 minutes. And then, of course, they rushed back in with the plunge protection team, the PPT, the President's Working Group on Financial Markets. And by massive buying of futures in Chicago, they were able to updraft the New York market so that it came back. But now, over these days, we're getting an idea of what happened. So let me just set the stage. By Thursday of last week, there was already a panic that was building up. And the panic comes out of the fact that a group of hedge fund hyenas, led by Soros, led by Greenlight Capital, led by Brigade Capital, led by Paulson and Company, But with Goldman Sachs, Bank of America, Merrill Lynch, and others also taking part, all of this written up in the Wall Street Journal, nothing secret about it, they had decided to attack the bond market of Greece, Portugal, Spain, Italy as a way to find a weak flank to get at the euro. And the goal of that, of course, was to save the world predominance of the dollar by driving the euro down. This is the only way you could make the dollar look good is to make the euro look very bad.
You are watching a master.
Yeah! Yeah!
Enough turning you to murder you. This is what the fuck I do.
You all
I want war. That's right, folks. We're back. Webster Griffin Tarpley talking about how the financial powers that be evil are manipulating the world. They're basically lowering the value of all our currencies against the value of gold. That's why gold keeps skyrocketing. It was about $300 an ounce 5, 6, 7 years ago, and it's now $1,200 an ounce. Very, very few stocks or commodities have done that well in this economy. And so they, you know, they'll make our currency a little weaker, and Americans will feel, yeah, our currency's stronger. And then they'll make the American currency a little weaker, and then we'll feel, yay, ours is a little stronger. And they'll keep playing us like this in these stupid games. But, you know. And that's the thing. There are different ways to take this information. It's kind of like being in an abusive relationship with the New World Order. And if you know you're getting beaten by them, what are you doing, and how are you reacting to that? Is something you have to understand. Is something that will be habitualized. You know, and stuff like that. I mean, you know, people have real complicated excuses for why we can't understand things. Oh, it's so complicated. Or for why we can't do stuff. Oh, you know, nobody listens. Well, you know, how hard are you trying? And people will, and you know, somebody emailed me. You can email me at blackkrishna, BlackKrishna at gmail.com. Any questions, answers, suggestions, music, tips, you know, all sorts of fun stuff. You can break me off a slice of your thoughts. But somebody emailed me. I emailed them back. And they said, yeah, it's a shame people don't listen. It's too bad people don't listen. And I told them. I was like, this is crazy. You know, I was fairly polite. You know, I'm a little animated today, but I was fairly polite. And I basically said, look, I make music. And if nobody listens to my music, I got to make better music. Because if I don't make better music, and this track here, Death to the New World Order, was produced at Uptown Underground Studios at Bathurst and Lawrence. If you want more information about Uptown Underground, you can look up Uptown Underground ads running in the iMagazine, I think. Or you can email me, blackkrishna@gmail.com. And I'll get in touch with my buddy and his amazing studio and amazing engineer who helped put this track together after I'd left the vocals there. So very nice of them to do that. Music is such a hugely important part of this. We got to wonder, with all the conscious hip hop out there, all the conscious rappers and all this other stuff, how come more people don't know about, well, the New World Order, or at least on a micro level, the danger of vaccines? Why aren't they be like, you know? Why aren't you saving your kids from getting shot? So this is Talib Kweli in a Vibe magazine interview on the Illuminati. See how he handles it. Oh, rats. I forgot about this. Sorry about that, folks. The bottom line is Talib Kweli of the infamous Talib Kweli and High Tech Duo were coming out with a new album. We're recently asked about the Illuminati and the existence of them. And he gave a very, very interesting answer. And when I mean interesting, I mean interesting. I mean, as I try and find it again, I realized I recorded it last week, but it didn't work. Although it's now so popular, it's popping up in... It's so popular. There we go. Got it. All right. Check out what Talib Kweli and High Tech, allegedly leader of the conscious hip-hop movement, has to say about the Illuminati, as best he and they understand it, and probably recommending how we should.
Regarding the Illuminati, like, look, when Leon High Tech was in Cincinnati working on the first album, there's a group, Mood, they're working on their new album. Shout out to Dante Mays, Lil Jon's son.
Yeah, shout
I'm
out
on
to
the Mood album. And when we were working on that album in 94, 95, 96, we was reading the Illuminati, The Hold the Pale Horse, The Matrix series. We was reading all these books, New World Order. Anything we could get our hands on, we was reading a lot of it, and it was like, you know, it got us to the point where we never was like, okay, 2000 is the end of the world, but we believe everything we read.
Yeah.
We didn't check to see the history of the author or nothing. If it was in a book, we kind of believed it. That's the ignorance of youth. A lot of those books are written by right-wing Christian organizations because they don't like how religion is portrayed in secular society, and they don't like seeing symbolism as used from ancient times, from pagan times, and the word pagan just means no religion.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And they get offended by that, and they don't know how to process it. You mix that with a large amount of success. You mix that with Jay-Z and artists like him doing deals with people, business people who these people who read this stuff don't trust, and you put together a theory. And when you break it down, it's really based on a lot of hype and a lot of, you know, no research.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, these are people with, particularly Kanye West, you know, this is somebody I know personally. When I started hearing it about him, that's when I started speaking out about it. I don't hang out with Jay-Z and Beyonce and Rihanna. I don't know what they be doing on their spare time. You know what I mean?
Taking on yachts, bro.
Yeah,
they're just having a good time, living life.
But I mean, and even if they're in the Illuminati, it's like, you know, Freddy. It's like the Candyman. It's like the only way to have power over you is if you believe in it. If you don't believe in it, it don't affect your life. You gotta live your life and not worry about it.
Right after, man.
And we're back to KLN listeners again. That was Talib Kweli saying, if you don't worry about the Illuminati, they can't harm you. And let's break down the Illuminati for a sec. All right, so the Bavarian Illuminati, founded in 1776 by Adam Weishaupt, was a secret society of just super rich people who said, hey, let's get together, hang out, and talk about how we can get even more super fantastically rich and steal stuff from the people, you know, we manage. And okay, so that's 1776, that's founded, that's mainstream sort of history, you can look that up. I believe Bavaria actually banned the Illuminati from operating. This is my understanding of things from back in the day. So there is certainly evidence of that out there in Illuminati lore. And that was in 1782, I believe. But you can look into this on your own, and you know, it was fairly public at the time. You know, it was just a club. It was like there was a Hellfire Club in London, England, which was later used by the X-Men as a supervillain club in a comic book. But it really existed, and Ben Franklin went there, and it was, you know, half, you know, scotch and cigars, half prostitutes. And so, and speaking of that, with huge entourages being given diplomatic immunity here for the G20 summit from June 26th to 27th, you can expect tons and tons of craziness to go on here like that, too. I mean, we could be knee-deep in, you know, dead hookers and coke, you know, in end of June, because these people can get away with anything here. You know, all the pedophiles, all the sadism, all the craziness that goes on, that's conducted by diplomats on a regular basis, could take place here in June unless we get active about these issues and say, look, we know you people have been screwing the world, so we're just not going to, you know, we're not going to treat you disrespecting us like that's normal. When you come through on your little, you know, my buddies want to come over and talk about how to run the world. I asked the shawarma dude from Jordan. I said, hey, man, if people in Jordan say these 20 countries could run the world, like, did they vote on this and say, yeah, you guys drive. We don't care where we're going. And we're okay with this. Decentralized power and honest money, best way to save the world. But it is a news show. And hopefully a lot of this is news to you. And I'm forgiven for my editorial excesses here. Just starting 4 days a week, definitely going to go nuts. Paul Joseph Watson, Obama czar, wants mandatory government propaganda on political websites. So yeah, they're going to start to say, for balance, we need this side. Yes, there are two sides. 9/11 was an inside job. 9/11 wasn't. Got to give them equal time and so on. Let's just go where the evidence takes us, folks. It's a lot smarter. Miss USA contestant supports Arizona illegal immigration law. Again, good and bad for that, but don't get caught in the mainstream left-right fight. It's meant to screw all of us. Yahoo News here. Suicide bombing kills 18, including 6 NATO troops in Kabul in Afghanistan. I got to tell you, folks, I've been saying this since 07 in a song. If we can't do it, it can't be done. And if we can't make it fun, then it can't be won. So we do try and make it fun. You're going to catch me cracking up whenever I'm doing this stuff because it feels good to feel good about this for once. By actually getting not just admiring someone's creative interpretation of how we're screwed, but by actually saying, you know what, I can put this out there to people. It's been simplified by so many people worldwide to the point where it's fairly easy for me to take their work and re-simplify it using some amazing tips and techniques, or just share it verbatim. Take a DVD somebody made, took a year making, and give someone an hour and a half to catch up on this stuff fast, or make a flyer, or whatever. But there's lots of things we can do. And I've been saying, they talk about car bombs in Iraq and so on, but not carpet bombs. So I'll say, car bomb goes off in Baghdad, killing 21. Well, what about the carpet bombing that killed 2,100? You know, and again, this is how they normalize this type of information flow from us. But you know, there it is, and that's, you know, little random sample snapshots. Now, if you do want to catch up on you know the news and slog through, you know, the headlines and so on like that, great, lots of great places to do that, and it's, you always need to get informed first. But you know, We can't just keep an eye on ourselves, and we can't just rely on our own weaknesses to be our guide. Like, oh, I don't know, maybe I can't, I'm not sure. Nah, nah, nah. And you can't just base your life around. Fear builds on fear. Love builds on love. Power builds on power. Success builds on success. Failure builds on failure. And so if you legitimize a weak response to this, you're just going to screw yourself because it's going to become habitual, and that ain't going to feel good after a while. So check InfoWars.com for great news overview. Check CuttingThroughTheMatrix.com, philosophical news. NaturalNews.com for natural news. TrendsResearch.com for latest financial news. Locally, TorontoTruthSeekers.com. As one of the principal architects who helped take the group from 200 to now 367, moving towards 400 members in just about a year or so, this isn't us. And I'm happy with the work I've done, with the work other great colleagues, Mark Jr., Kathy, and everybody at TTS, Brad, and just everybody, we're blessed with a great group of people in the city. We're not doing much these days, which is tragic, because we're such a great, happy group of people. You know, we can be happy regardless. But if we meditate on our souls a bit, we will get back into gear. And so TorontoTruthSeekers.com is a great option. And if you're one of the 1,000, 2,000, 10,000 people who join, and it's still just me and Brad flyering, we'll take it because we appreciate the support. So you don't have to join and feel obligated to do anything. You can just hang out and say, you know what, I'm going to join because I'm down with supporting people that do this type of thing at this time in history. And we, speaking as one of them, sincerely appreciate that. So TorontoTruthSeekers.com is great. PressForTruth.ca. Catch up on what's happening with Dan Dix, Brian Law, Steve Davies, and the work they're doing on the G20. True independent grassroots media, courtesy of them for you. ConspiracyCulture.com, book and DVD store. Grab a copy of something for yourself or for someone else and support this type of anti-NWO research and activism here in Toronto. Toronto Street News as well. Flip a homeless guy, Toonie, and get better information than you'll get all day. It's not a bad idea, and it's probably good karma if you buy that stuff anyway. So that's it for me, folks. Mr. Colin Smith is going to come up next with 4 hours of killer jazz, taking you one flight up from your current reality and your current mood. We're all blessed to have his services. I'm going to leave you with my track, Death to the New World Order, because I feel like it today. And yeah, the New World Order is an idea. George W. Bush said in 1990 and 1991, he used the term, he said, it is a big idea, a new world order. Well, they have an idea of where they want to go. We should have an idea of where we want to go, and we should express that idea. Let's meditate on that. Peace out, everybody.
You are watching a master.
Yeah! Yeah! Enough turning you to murder you. This is what the fuck I do.
Death to the new world order!
Enough turning you to murder you. This is what the fuck I do.
Death to the new world order!
Enough turning you to murder you. This is what the fuck I do.
Death to the new world order!
What the fuck I do?
Death to the new world order.
They say money talk, fuck money, I talk more. A girl say chill, but
of all day. Fuck you saying that for? My conscience is constantly conscious. New world order's upon us. Who fucking wants it? Stand your choice, your voice, your noise to make. Fully take away your choice. Yo, fuck who you rolling with. Freeze amazing. Fuck what you hold shit, I'm in the face. A 1,000-year plan or a 1,000-year chance in hell. For not taking shit.